The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
4 o'clock hour on Hawk and Crowder. Appel in for Hawk, Crowder, and Solana. Appreciate Alejandro joining us in the last segment, talking some heat. Appreciate Alex Dono joining us in the 2 o'clock hour. Cameron Wolf of NFL Network will join us in the next segment. We'll talk Dolphins, NFL, MVP race, all of it, and probably candy canes with him as well. We've asked every guest that's joined us so far their feelings on candy canes, and I'm glad everybody agrees that they're awful and for nothing more than decorations. It's time for 15 minutes of Game Day Uncensored, brought to you by the Lexus RX, a luxury SUV for those who never want to lose their edge. Experience amazing at your Lexus dealer. So some Dolphins notes to get today. The Dolphins released Shaq Barrett a month after the pass rusher requested to either return or be released from the team. Obviously, the Dolphins signed Shaq Barrett after Andrew Van Ginkel. They allowed him to walk. He's now got 10-plus sacks for Minnesota, having a great year for the Vikings as they push to win the NFC North, and they've got a shot at the one seed in the NFC as well. They have a big game on Sunday coming up against the Packers at home. Barrett signed as a free agent this offseason, retired a week before training camp. He'll go on waivers now, and all 31 teams have a chance to claim him and his $9 million salary. If nobody claims him, he can sign with whoever he'd like, and he probably wants to go to a team that is qualified for the postseason and make a run there. We've talked about it ad nauseum with the Dolphins, what they need to have happen. They could be eliminated before they kick off Sunday's game in Cleveland. They need the Chargers or the Broncos to lose on Saturday. The Chargers have the Patriots. The Broncos have the Bengals. Dolphins need one of those two teams to lose their final two games. They need one loss from the Indianapolis Colts, and they need to win out. It's a very slim chance, but you know, especially with Kansas City winning their game in Pittsburgh yesterday, clinching the one seed in the AFC, they've got nothing to play for these final 2 weeks. So who knows if or how much Patrick Mahomes plays in either of these or in their final game next Sunday. They play the Broncos. It could be a Carson Wentz start in Denver. Remember, those two teams earlier in the season played at Arrowhead. Not to brag, I had the call of that game. It was a 16-14 win for the Chiefs. The Broncos and Bo Nix drove down the field. They set up for a field goal of 35 or 36 yards, something like that. And the Chiefs blocked the field goal to move to 9-0. The Chiefs don't block that field goal. Broncos probably already locked in. So at the time, not many people thought much of it as far as the grand scheme of things and how it would affect the Dolphins, but that block kick on the chip shot is one of the reasons the Dolphins still have a slight chance to make the postseason. And the Broncos just, they feel kind of out of sorts right now. Their defense has faltered over the last couple of weeks. Bo Nix hasn't played as well. That Chargers loss, blowing a second-half lead, looked like a completely different team in that second half. Who knows if the Broncos don't falter here over the last two games and open up the door for the Dolphins. But, you know, Kansas City, that performance in Pittsburgh, you want to talk about falling off? The Steelers have lost their last three games against the Eagles, the Ravens, and now the Chiefs, all by double digits. The Ravens going to win the AFC North. They're going to host a playoff game, and the Steelers have faltered quite a bit. And Russell Wilson, who was having a really good season since coming back, has looked like the Russell Wilson of last year over the last few weeks. And a lot of that has to do with George Pickens' antics. And we'll get to some of this with Cameron Wolf in the next segment. But, man, Kansas City, it feels like that team is getting healthy and hitting their stride at the right time. This isn't a hot take per se, but they are the current generation New England Patriots of the mid, late 2000s, early 2010s. I mean, we are living that again with Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. We all thought last year and the iteration of the Chiefs was the worst version of them since Mahomes took over, and they went out and won a Super Bowl. They were eking out these one-score games. They were playing close games against teams that felt like they were playing with their food when they matched up with them. Carolina played a close game. Obviously, Denver at the time, and there's so many. I mean, the Raiders played them close on Black Friday. But here they are. Hollywood Brown is back on that offense, and now a unit that was without Isaiah Pacheco for a while, the corpse of Kareem Hunt, is their starting running back. Travis Kelce, while he's not the same player he was, he's still setting records out there. You've got DeAndre Hopkins, who still has it. Noah Gray's having a great year. Hollywood Brown is back. Team scary again. Xavier Worthy has proved to be an incredible weapon for that offense. And we know that Spags is going to have you in a blender with his scheme and his matchups. Chiefs might do it again, man. And I would have said that Buffalo is the favorite in the AFC, just given the way the Chiefs have won these games and eked them out. But I guess that's what good teams do, right? Keep it close. The best quarterback of all time, non-Tom Brady division, although I think by the time everything's said and done, we might be talking about Mahomes being better. Irregardless.
There is a saying out there, though, that good teams win. What do great teams do, though? They cover spreads. Absolutely.
Speaking of, we're at 32 points early in the third quarter.
Yeah, you're
in
coasting.
The Game Club Sports Bowl, we needed the over 49. So we need three scores here in this second half. And Toledo has the ball, and they're driving with a first and 10. Yeah. So I think we're looking okay. I'm not trying to jinx anything, but I think we're looking okay. But it must be frustrating for the entire league that Kansas City has farted their way to 15-1, and now they look like the best version of themselves after the last couple of weeks, and especially after that performance in Pittsburgh yesterday. All right, we've got Cameron Wolf of NFL Network coming up in the next segment. We'll talk NFL MVP race. We'll talk Kansas City. We'll talk about what the hell's happened to CJ Stroud, among other things. That's Cam Wolf, NFL Network. He'll join us next. But first, let's get to our headlines here in the 4 o'clock hour.
4 o'clock headlines brought to you by Doral Kia. At Doral Kia, choose from over 500 new Kia models in inventory like the Sportage, Sorento, and Telluride. Remember, when it comes to Kia, the great deals are at Doral Kia. Christmas Day football on Netflix. A couple of blowouts. Chiefs win over the Steelers 29-10. Clinch the first round bye and home field advantage in the AFC with the win. Travis Kelce passes Tony Gonzalez for first place all time in Chiefs tight end receiving touchdowns. The Ravens get the win over the Texans 31-2. Lamar Jackson moves into first all time in career rush yards by a quarterback over Michael Vick. Texans held to only 2 points. No scoregami there. Tonight we get to see the Seahawks and the Bears from Soldier Field on Thursday Night Football. Former Seahawks head coach Pete Carroll says to be interested in the Bears head coaching vacancy for a possible comeback next year to the NFL. The Dolphins will take on the Browns Sunday at 4 p.m. from Cleveland. Needing a little help from either the Broncos or the Chargers, getting a loss on Saturday. NBA Christmas Day had five very good games, highly entertaining. The Lakers get a narrow win over the Warriors, double bangs from Mike Breen there late in the game. Steph Curry tying it, and then Austin Reeves putting it in to take the lead. LeBron, after the game, said, "I love the NFL, but Christmas is still our day." Not sure how many people agree with that.
LeBron could say anything, and, yeah. I think people would find a way to disagree with it. I mean, what else are they going to say? Ah, the NFL is king, even though... I will say this, though. I saw people point out that they don't love that the NBA has gone away from the special Christmas Day uniforms that they used to wear. And I agree with that. You got to make the NBA on Christmas feel a little more special.
It can't just be commercials. Like, you can't just put commercials for a couple weeks leading up to the game and expect everybody to like get excited for it.
Did you watch the alternate cast of
Disney
characters?
Yeah, I saw
ESPN
Goofy like put someone on a poster.
Yeah. So friend of the show, Drew Carter. I think he's going to try and join us next week when I'm filling in on Tuesday and Thursday again. Drew did the game on ESPN2, and I love what ESPN has done with these alternate broadcasts. Yeah. Drew did the Disney one yesterday on NBA Christmas. He did the Simpsons one on Monday Night Football a couple of weeks ago. Big City Greens in the NHL. He did the Toy Story NFL broadcast.
They're fun.
I love what ESPN and these leagues are doing, kind of marketing it for a younger audience. Not the Simpsons necessarily, but that Disney one yesterday. Imagine waking up with your family and your kids and you watch Goofy posterize somebody.
That's awesome.
Mickey Mouse at a step back three. I mean, come on.
Luka Doncic expected to miss an expanded period of time for the Mavericks with a calf strain. Jimmy Butler reportedly prefers a trade out of Miami by the February 6th trade deadline. Pat Riley declined those reports today, saying that the Heat will not look to trade him. The Miami Heat take on the Orlando Magic tonight at 7 p.m. in Orlando from the Kia Center. Pre-game coverage will start right here, right after our show at 5:45 p.m. on 560 WQAM. Hurricanes basketball coach Jim Larrañaga steps down immediately after 14 seasons with the program. Canes are currently 4-8 and are off until January 1st. Three bowl games today. We've got Pittsburgh and Toledo. They're going at it third quarter. Toledo up 20-12 over Pittsburgh. Rutgers takes on Kansas State at 5:30 in the Rate Bowl from Chase Field in Arizona. And Arkansas State will take on Bowling Green at 9 p.m. in the 68 Ventures Bowl from Hancock Whitney Stadium in Alabama. Canes go bowling versus Iowa State on Saturday. Pop-Tarts Bowl, 3:30 p.m. kick from Orlando in the Camping World Stadium. You can listen to all the action right here on 560 WQAM. And the Cats, they're off until Saturday. Much-needed break to get healthy. They'll take on the Canadiens at 1 p.m. on home ice at the Amerant Bank Arena. Now time for your weather, sponsored by DeMesmin & Dover Law Firm, youraccidentattorneys.com. Free consultations 24-7 at 866-954-MORE. It is 78 degrees outside, 7-mile-an-hour winds, 67% humidity, no rain in the forecast for the rest of the evening.
All right, so Cameron Wolf will join us, NFL Network insider, in the next segment. Before we get to that, though, I was just perusing through the show sheet that Solana puts together for us even on days that he doesn't work, and he usually includes the birthdays on this. And today is Jared Leto's birthday. Steven, do you want to take a guess at how old Jared Leto is?
Oof, man.
Did you see the show sheet already?
I did, but I don't really look into the birthdays too much. But if I had to guess, I would say maybe 70, 71.
70?
Yeah.
Jared Leto?
Maybe a little more.
Do you know who Jared Leto is?
Yeah.
30 Seconds to Mars and the actor?
Yeah.
You think Jared Leto is 70-something years old?
Yeah.
He's 53.
Hey, guys can...
I thought 53 was old. I thought he was in like his low 40s.
No way.
Yeah.
No way, man.
Okay, well, I don't know if you're the... I don't know if you're the person that should be chirping me on how old to think Jared Leto is. You went 70-plus
years old. He's gotten a lot of work done on his face. You could tell, man. His face does not look the same.
Yeah. But that's drastic.
I usually
53, kind of look younger.
Once I see that you start doing work on your face, I automatically assume that you are 20 years older than what you probably are.
Well, he is 53 today, and that was a shocking number to me. I did not think.
Not shocking, bro.
Well, if you thought he was 70, then yeah, it's not shocking. But for me, I thought he was younger than
50. The way you presented it made me think that I'm like, I got to really oversell it here.
Yeah, not for me. 53. That also, not a great joker.
Not at all.
Probably one of the worst ones.
The worst.
Respectfully.
The worst.
Are you excited for Superman? Did you see that trailer?
I haven't seen the trailer.
Oh, you got to look up the Superman trailer. James Gunn, who did all the Guardians of the Galaxy movies, and he also, I believe, was the director or creator or writer on Peacemaker on HBO Max, which is a phenomenal show with John Cena. It's a continuation of the Suicide Squad story. I'm so excited for this movie to come out. I think it's coming out in the summer of 25, I think, or May, something like that. But, oh boy. It looks like the DC Universe in handing the reins over to James Gunn has finally figured out how to make quality movies. All right. Cameron Wolf, NFL Network. He's coming up next. We'll talk NFL with him on Hockman and Crowder.
You're listening to the Hock and Crowder Show.
Joe, I'm too sexy for Hock, too sexy for Crowder, and surely too sexy for Solana.
Hock and Crowder.
Welcome back to Hock and Crowder. Day after Christmas. Josh Appel in for Hock, Crowder, and Solana. Jimmy's here. Steven is here. Appreciate Alex Dono and Solana joining us earlier. Quick update on my over 49 in the Game Above Sports Bowl. We're about to be at 39 unless Pittsburgh goes for two. They're down 20-18. But they just got called for a penalty, so they're probably not going to go for two. We're going to kick our extra point. And while they do that, it's time to bring on our good friend, Cameron Wolf, NFL Network insider. He joins us on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Shop hundreds of Toyotas indoors in one of America's largest showrooms at Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. Cam, thanks for taking the time. Merry day after Christmas.
Bro? Merry Christmas to you.
Appreciate you. Thanks for taking the time. We were talking, and I've asked this to both of our guests who have joined us already, talking the first segment. It's National Candy Cane Day. Where do you fall on the candy cane? I'm out on the candy cane.
Yeah, I'm out too. I could not eat a candy cane for the rest of my life and be perfectly fine. I don't know that they have a true purpose. If I really wanted peppermint, I would just get peppermint. A peppermint or peppermint gum. There's no reason why I want the messiness of having a candy cane going through it. It seems like something that was better in theory than reality.
Totally out on it. You don't know which side to start eating. It's for decoration and that's it. And now you got all these different candies making their own versions of themselves as candy canes. I just want a Skittle as a Skittle. I don't want a Skittle as a candy cane.
No. If I wanted a Skittle, I could Skittle. I just don't understand why we need to force these things. And speaking as a dad, one of the messiest candies you could possibly have. My daughter likes them. It always ends up with the candy cane stuck somewhere. It doesn't need to be stuck. It's just, we just get rid of candy canes as a whole.
Speaking of messy, before we get to Lamar's performance yesterday and how that affects the MVP race with Josh Allen, the messy segue sounded better, so we're just going to go with that. what's happened to C.J. Stroud this year? He had an incredible rookie season. He hyped himself up a lot in the offseason. Obviously, a lot of other people hyped him up as well. But for C.J. Stroud, the sophomore slump has been real. And yeah, their offensive line isn't great, and they've lost Tank Dell, and they've lost Stephon Diggs. But they still got talent at the skill positions there. What do you make of the whole C.J. Stroud situation and the season he's had?
Yeah, I think the league caught up to him a bit. I think that you get the quintessential, you surprise the league. And I was talking to some of my boys in the group chat about this before. C.J. Stroud had one of the most remarkable rookie seasons in NFL history. Like, people were reasonably saying that he could be a top five quarterback already after his rookie season. He had nowhere to go from but down. And I kind of compare it to what Jacksonville did when Doug Peterson's first year with Trevor Lawrence there. They come in, they win a playoff game, and the only way you go is being a Super Bowl contender. For CJ Stroud, the only way he could go is being an MVP candidate. He's fell to being just an average starting quarterback this year, which for most second-year guys is a part of progression. But he overshot his shot in year one, and I think all of us are like, wow, he's fallen down to grace from earth. He's a young quarterback going through the process. Defense is caught up on a little of the things that he's doing well. Him and Bobby Slowick seem to have a certain rhythm in year one that they don't have in year two. And so I think some of this has to go on your offense coordinator. You got to figure out ways to make your quarterback smooth. And honestly, for CJ, it looks a little bit like his confidence is not as high as it was last year. Like, you watch him in the pocket, and sometimes he's not pulling the trigger as quickly as he was. He's uncertain. His feet are moving. Those are things from a guy that's not fully confident in what he's being asked to do. And so I'd imagine you see them go back to the drawing boards, maybe a little less podcast this offseason for CJ. And I think he'll be fine ultimately. But maybe it's just a reminder for us not to crown these quarterbacks, after a rookie season.
It's been a tough look for CJ Stroud when he's given a top five quarterbacks in the league on a podcast in the offseason, and he puts himself above Josh Allen, who's not even in his top five. And now Josh Allen is battling for MVP with the guy who beat CJ Stroud and the Texans last night in Lamar Jackson. Now, for a while this season, Lamar was the front runner for MVP. And then Josh Allen had that incredible stretch with the Rams game, that Lions game, the 49ers game in the snow. And it seemed at that point, all right, now Josh Allen moved into the number one spot as leader in the clubhouse for the MVP. I happen to think Josh Allen still has the slight edge over Lamar, but then I think about it this way, where Lamar has won two MVPs already, and the numbers he's putting up this season are even better than those two seasons. So how do you see this MVP race shaking out? We could be in a situation where Josh Allen doesn't even play in week 18 because their spot is locked in the AFC. The Ravens are in a similar spot, but they're still, you know, fighting for seeding there. So again, how do you see this MVP race shaping out? It's one of the closest races in a long time.
Absolutely. I was actually just going to say that, Josh. You hit it on the money. This is the first time I've been excited for the end of the MVP race in a long time, because I think it's wide open. I think Josh Allen will win the MVP. That's what I think will happen. No matter what these last two games look like, I think there's a couple of reasons. One, there is the reality that there's voter fatigue. You know, Lamar's won twice. Josh hasn't won. Whether we look at it as reality, people who vote, you want to get somebody new in there. And so Josh has had probably his best season as a pro in my mind of how he's playing. And when you look at the circumstances do matter. Like, it's subjective, but circumstances matter. Josh Allen has a less talented roster than Lamar Jackson has. He has no true number one receiver. He's doing it in a retooled roster way more than what Lamar is doing. And Josh is taking care of the football, which has been his big Achilles heel all of the season. He's at a career low in turnovers. He's leading this team as a top two seed in the AFC, essentially by being better himself. And so because of that, I think Josh Allen certainly deserves the award. What is interesting is what you just mentioned. The Bills are essentially locked in the two seed. All they have to do is win one of the next two games between the Patriots and the Jets. Jets this weekend, then the Patriots, and they have the two seed. And so they probably could win that with, you know, Mitch Trubisky, Mike White at quarterback. You know, one of those two options could probably lead them to the victory, and they get the two seed. So do they lessen the load for Josh Allen this week, potentially sit him next week, and will that affect voters? I think that's the most interesting element in the race, because Lamar just did it on the national TV on Christmas Day in front of a lot of eyeballs, a lot of voters, blew out the Texans. He's going to have another opportunity in the next 2 weeks on a big platform, chance for him to clinch that AFC North. And, you know, the reality is there's a lot of recency bias. And so I could certainly see Lamar stealing this MVP just based off of he is the most recent exciting thing. I'll put one other caveat though, Josh, and this is just my opinion. I don't think it'll happen. Saquon's about, 270, 275 yards from breaking Eric Dickerson's record in the next two games. If he breaks that record, to me, he would be the most worthy because he did something historic. Now, it's a quarterback award. I don't know if voters will see that way, but that's how I see it.
It feels like Saquon will get the we'll give you the offensive player of the year. We'll throw you a bone. But I'm with you, because if you look at what the Eagles have done this year, their pass offense is second to last in the league or third to last in the league this year.
Yep.
They are built around Saquon Barkley. And Saquon has been the majority of their offensive production this year.
Yep.
I'm with you. I did the Eagles-Ravens game, and our big storyline in that one was Saquon, Lamar, MVP candidates going at it. Obviously, Derrick Henry kind of a distant candidate for it with the seasons he's having, the season he's having. But Saquon had had an MVP moment in that win, icing the game with a long touchdown run. I mean, the season he is having, the Giants front office, their heads must be spinning because the value that the Eagles are getting for what they ended up paying Saquon Barkley is unbelievable. I'm with you. I don't see the voters giving this to someone other than Lamar or Josh Allen because, as you pointed out, quarterback award, and that's just what it's turned into. But, you know, if there was ever a guy worthy of it who's not a quarterback, it's Saquon.
You got me?
Yeah. Yep.
I'm 100% with you, man. Saquon's had an incredible season. It's a quarterback award. I was at the Eagles-Commanders game this past week, and what Saquon did in the first half was incredible. You know, he had a 68-yard touchdown pass run, and you start to forget how big he is as a back compared to how fast he is. I love the Hard Knock clips. Every time I see it, I laugh. Mm-hmm. Giants fans just misery with this. But I'm with you. I think no matter what Saquon does, it's probably offensive player of the year for him and quarterback for either Lamar or Josh.
Let's stay in the AFC for a second. The Chiefs with a dominant win over the Steelers yesterday. And it really feels like the NFL's worst nightmare is taking place right now.
Yeah.
They're getting healthier, at least on offense. They look the best that they've looked all year. Somehow still haven't eclipsed 30 points in a game yet, but they're 15-1. Here they are. They go on the road to Pittsburgh on a short week, third game in 11 days, whatever it is for them, and they put together that type of a performance. At one time, I might have said the Bills, despite the worst record, were the favorite in the AFC, but how can you not look at the Chiefs and everything they've done, given all the circumstances, what they look like now? They're going to be healthy in the postseason. They're the favorites again, somehow, some way. Here they are, the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah, Josh, I'm a big fan of The Wire. You come at the king, you best not miss. They're the king. They're the king. No matter how much you try to pick apart what the Chiefs are, what they don't have, what weapons they don't have, you get tired of them winning Super Bowls until somebody knocks them off the top. They're the king. And I think the Bills have a real shot this year. We talked about the Bills. You know, they beat the Chiefs earlier this year, giving them their only loss. But they got to go into Arrowhead. The Bills will have to beat the Chiefs. And I can't imagine the Chiefs being anything other than a favorite for that game, as they should. Patrick Mahomes shouldn't be disrespected for what he has done, winning three games in the last 11 days. Their defense playing the way it is, even without Chris Jones. It's an elite team. It's a you know, dynasty of a franchise that can put a bow on it this year with three straight. And, yeah, it's their title until somebody takes it from them.
Cameron Wolf, NFL Network, joining us on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Shifting gears to the NFC for a moment. Another similar situation. If you'd asked me a week or two ago, maybe a little longer, I would have thought NFC favorite, Detroit running away with it.
Yep.
No hesitation. But now they're obviously incredibly banged up on defense. You've got the Vikings who might overtake them in the NFC North. The Eagles are still the Eagles, depending on, you know, Jalen Hurts' health. And the Packers seem like they're getting into a groove at the right time as well. Who do you see as the favorite in the NFC?
Yeah, I think I would have the Philadelphia Eagles as the favorite because of what Detroit's doing with their injuries. That you lose David Montgomery possibly for the season. You lost Aiden Hutchinson already this year. You lost who did they just lose recently? Injury wise,
Aleem McNeil, their defensive tackle. Yeah,
exactly. It just seems like another blow every week, and at some point it takes its toll and wipes you out. And so Philly's healthier. You know, they're coming off a loss against Washington, but if they don't get their safety ejected for talking too crazy at somebody and their quarterback doesn't get concussed, they probably are winners of 11 straight and the hottest team in the league. And so I think it's Philly's to lose, but I'll say this. We talked about the AFC. I think there's only three teams that can reasonably make it to the Super Bowl in the AFC, and it's Kansas City, Buffalo, Baltimore. NFC, any of those playoff teams could reasonably make a run. And yeah. I saw the Green Bay Packers, the way they played the other night. And I looked at them and I'm like, wow, that's a team. They could go on the road and beat any of these teams. They could beat Detroit. They could beat Philadelphia. Jordan Love's taking care of the ball. Their defense is elite. Josh Jacobs running the ball in the downhill way he does in January in this cold weather. But you could say the same about the Vikings. You could say the same about Washington, what they're doing with Jaden Daniels. And then we got Philly and Detroit. You know, that conference is wide open. And so I think the NFC playoffs might even be a little bit more fun. But if I had to put a handicap on it, I'd say Philly.
I mean, you didn't even mention the Rams. They're battle tested. Their defense is playing
great.
They
won a Super Bowl, right?
Right. I don't think it would surprise anybody if the Rams, especially after their start, the Rams, the way they're finishing this year, if they go on a run. Last and couple here for you.
The other team that we didn't mention, they beat Philly in the playoffs last year. So
the Bucs, though, I have them this weekend against Carolina. That defense, they've got a ton of injuries, and the defense, as great as their offense has been this year, that's how awful production-wise, numbers-wise, the Bucs defense has been. One more NFL story, and then I want to get your quick thoughts on the Dolphins. It came out this week that Pete Carroll is showing some interest in returning to the NFL coaching ranks. Chicago is the job that I guess his people, or he is rumored to be interested in. We know Ben Johnson is rumored to have interest in the Bears job. I'm sure Mike Vrabel's name will come up in a lot of these openings, but for Pete Carroll, Ben Johnson, this Bears job specifically, only because it's been in the news, how do you see that all shaking out? To me, it seems, and this is, you know, just me talking here, but it seems like the right one, if you're trying to develop Caleb Williams and get him to where you want him to be, Ben Johnson seems like the no-brainer for them.
Yeah, so the Ben Johnson Chicago flirtation's been interesting because they've been kind of working through the media a little bit. You know, people got their different contacts they'll work through. And, you know, Ben Johnson obviously wants a nice size number. He wants to be courted a little bit. He's going to have his pick of jobs. Chicago's an interesting spot because they have probably going to have the most talented quarterback open in the market in Caleb Williams. But he's also a very unique quarterback in that, you know, his personality is not for everyone. He's a different type of guy. He also plays a different style of ball than all of Ben Johnson's quarterbacks. Ben Johnson's quarterbacks and Jared Goff and guys he's had in the past play on time. Caleb Williams is not an on-time rhythm player. He plays outside of scheme. He breaks outside the pocket and throws a lot of deep balls. Can Ben Johnson fit Caleb Williams in the scheme, or will he adjust his scheme? I'm not sure, you know, but I do think that, to your point, you know, I hate the idea of narrowing in on a position, a certain side of the ball for a coaching search. But for Chicago, they have to get Caleb right. And so I think it's going to be an offensive guy, whether that's Ben Johnson, whether that's someone else as the new head coach of Chicago.
Do you see Pete Carroll getting a legitimate look from any of these openings?
Not Chicago, but I could see him getting some interviews elsewhere. He's won a Super Bowl. That gives you a lot of weight. Bill Belichick not being in the race opens up, you know, spots. I think there's going to be 7-8 potential head coach job openings. And so not everybody's going to get Ben Johnson. Not everybody's going to get Mike Vrabel. There's going to be some folks that have to look over, and you are going to have some decisions. Do we take a chance on a one-year offensive coordinator or a defensive coordinator somewhere? Or do we go and get someone who's proven and Pete Carroll and say, hey, maybe we go 3 to 5 years with this guy and try to win it? I wouldn't be surprised if somebody took their shot on Pete Carroll, you know, trying to build a franchise, someone leaning really on defense, positivity. I could see Pete Carroll getting a shot somewhere. We just got to find that right spot. And it may not be open yet. That job for him may not be open yet.
Shifting gears to the Dolphins, and then we'll let you go. I know you've got some big plans tonight. And obviously it's college time. But I know this is a pretty open-ended question. This is not how anybody down here thought this Dolphins season would shake out for a variety of reasons. They still have their slim chance. Emphasis on slim. How do you kind of evaluate this Dolphins season? Because on the one hand, you can look at it and say, wow, like one bounce here, one stop here, and we're having a completely different conversation. And on the other, well, they weren't able to survive those bad bounces and those things because of areas they mismanaged. So how do you evaluate this season as a whole going into the last two games?
Yeah, it's a disappointment. There's no way to put it. I think too often we try to, you know, make excuses or make it a cookie cutter thing. Hey, Tua got hurt for a few games, or this happened, or bounced this way. Everybody has those ifs.
Yeah.
As part of the season, The Dolphins came into this year with expectations to not only make the playoffs, but win a playoff game. And yet again, they let their fans down. And so it's going to be an offseason disappointment. And the reality is they came into this season and really flexed their money. You know, Steve Ross went and paid everybody, gave Tua an extension, Tyreek an extension, Waddle extension, Jalen Ramsey, Mike McDaniel, with the thought that, hey, this is our core. And next year, they're going to come back with largely that same core. You know, I don't know that there's this amazing overhaul that people were expecting, given their cap situation. You know, some starters may depart. Maybe they draft a few guys or sign some value free agents. But they're in a really precarious position where Mike McDaniel's got to evaluate, is this style of play that we're playing with speed, with playmakers, our route to potentially get over the hump? Can we run it back essentially with small tweaks, or do we need to have a massive overhaul in philosophy? And I hear a lot of the Fire Greer chants, and sure, there's a lot of thoughts there.
I was going to ask you, is he going to be the guy that handles this offseason moving into next year? Because it feels like we're tracking in that direction. You said, if they're going to go with the same core-ish, then it makes sense that he's going to be the guy for another year. Because you also don't want to have a GM paired with a coach you didn't hire.
It's a great question. Mike McDaniel's not going anywhere, by the way. For people who had any questions, Mike McDaniel, zero chance he gets let go this offseason. He's going to be your head coach next year. Chris Greer is interesting because Chris Greer's been there for 20 years. Nothing has killed Chris Greer. He walks through it all. And so, you know, I can't, you know, say for sure whether he would be gone or not. But I'll tell you this, Mike McDaniel has been very active in this roster building. And so this isn't like a separate the kids from each other situation. They've been one in the one. Like, Mike McDaniel came in and he had the philosophy that we need to add more speed. We need to add more weapons. Chris Greer actually thought the opposite. We should add more trenches. And so for those who are saying, why haven't we built up our offensive line, defensive line, that's your head coach's philosophy. He believes that if we add more on the outside, we can out scheme folks. And, you know, a couple years in, it looked good. This year, I think we saw a lot of the flaws in that route, and that's what I'm referencing with the do they change their philosophy? Do they make a big splash and say, we've got to trade Tyreek or Waddle and prioritize our money elsewhere? That would probably be the one massive change they could potentially do to change the philosophy of the roster, but will Mike have the willingness to do that, given this is what he wanted to build? I think those are some of the major questions they'll have to answer this offseason, and I don't know if there's an easy answer.
Certainly not going to be. They're in that weird purgatory again where they got to figure out, like, this current iteration probably not good enough to win a Super Bowl, but it's also not bad enough where you want to blow everything up and start over again. Cameron Wolf, NFL Network, appreciate your time. Fantastic insight, as always. Thank you for your time. We got to do it again soon.
Well, we will. We will. Merry Christmas to everybody. And have a great rest of the show.
Cameron Wolf, NFL Network insider. Thanks again to him. Back with more Hawk and Crowder after this.